Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to episode 32 of the DesignFootball.com podcast. My name is Jay. I am the resident blogger on DesignFootball.com. Today I'm joined by Jason Lee, who's been on before. He is the founder of the brand Focalhaler, as well as being an experienced apparel designer for the likes of Adidas and Hummel. Hi, Jason. How are you?
Hey, Jay. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's good to speak to you again. So I wanted to speak to you today about Focalhaler. This is your brand that you've set up. How long has it been going now?
I'd say it's been going for a little over a year, maybe a bit of development before that, but I was on a little hiatus as well when we had our son, and I was full-time dadding for a while as well, so say more or less a year.
Okay. And I you might not want to be too specific about it, but how would you describe the brand?
Well, I'd say it, you know, the brand is pretty much what the word itself comes from, where it comes from the German word Focalhaler. And that's for an accord taking long, but short, fat, long, which is essentially a mullet. And I'd say that's the best way to describe it, because for me, mullet back in the day represented fashion, sport, and irony. And those are definitely three elements, or the three biggest elements that I see in the brand, and that what I would like to infuse in the brand as well.
Yeah, I speak as an Olympique de Marseille fan. So Chris Waddle was a big idol of mine when I was a kid. So the mullet definitely has its place in sport, particularly in football. I particularly like the brand because it does centre on football shirts currently, and there's a huge amount of football shirts in there. Football shirts with a kind of a twist to them. What is the aim when you create a football shirt under that brand?
First aim would be to get Chris Waddle to model for the brand. actually, you know what? I think if you do a Google search on mullet, Chris Waddle is like one of the first three images that comes up.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be the case. He did actually chop it off. I think he chopped it off during Italia 90. I think by the time he missed the penalty, the mullet was gone. But I still think Marseille should take credit for that. Despite a lot of kids in France did have that hairstyle around that time. I still think the Marseille style element is actually what got rid of that thing. So I like the shirt's fantastic in that they tell a story about whatever they're centered on, whether that's a team or a player. So particularly for me, I quite like the France shirts. So you've got several there. The first one is like, and I've never seen this before. I don't think anyone has ever had this before, but there's a France shirt with Piaf. I think it's 15 on the back. Yeah. When kids go in to get their shirts printed up, I don't think Edith Piaf is high up on their list. There is Edith Piaf, I take it.
Surely you jest. Of course every kid would want to put Edith Piaf on their shirt. Actually, the 15 comes from her birth year of 1915. And that shirt that you're speaking of it was the first one I did in that series. It's a home shirt of France, and it was inspired by her song La Vie en Rose, but I put a spin to it and made it La Vie en Bleu. Hence, you've got the blue shirt with the blue roses.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, the other twist on that, I don't know if it's connected, but there's La Vie en Rose means in pink, in effect.
Yeah.
So the there is actually a Zidane shirt as well that you've done, isn't there?
Yes. You'd be right to say that's where that full circle comes back.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it was the intention, but Zidane did wear pink for Juventus. I don't know if yeah. Was that part of the thinking? Well, I mean, it ties in regardless of whether it is or not.
Yeah, it ties in, but it wasn't from his Juve shirt. It was really just to circle back to the pink from her song.
So take us through the design of, say, the PF shirt in particular. These are sublimated shirts, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I think the most important thing for me is the idea. And then, say, once I have the idea, it almost comes to fruition in my mind visually. So everything else, like the execution and whatnot, that's, you know, it's almost like second fiddle to the idea for me. So, and I think, you know, people have asked me this before where they're like, okay, you know, what's the, what do you find tough in design? And I would say the ideation part is, because once you can have that solidified, then the execution is just, you know, I would say maybe a bit of tweaking here and there, but if you're not crazy about your idea in the first place, then you're going to have a tough time trying to make that come to life. So, you know, all the details of that shirt, you know, focus in on the rose. And so the theme that ties in the other shirts, you'll see the hints of the rose. So the tonal blue roses on the home, on that, the pink Zizou, I suppose you could call that the third shirt. You see the blue roses in there as well. And then the tricolor thorny vine on the sleeves with the rose again. And then the away Griezmann shirt, where you've got the pinstripes made out of the thorny vine. So it's just different ways of executing the rose theme into the shirt.
Yeah, that I particularly like the Griezmann shirt. Because it reminds me of, I think it's like early 80s France away, where they had that alternating red and blue pinstripe thing, but it has a twist on that, as you say, with the thorny vine approach. Yeah, I quite like it. I mean, he's a superstar anyway, and hugely marketable for lots of different reasons, and a great player, and the hopes of France rest on his shoulders. It's nice to hear that those three shirts are kind of a sort of trinity. I didn't actually realize that. I thought they were their own different ideas. Obviously, there's a link that they're tied in together, but the way you view them as home shirt, away shirt, and yeah, third shirt is quite interesting. How do you then explain, there's a fourth France shirt, isn't there? There's another player that you've created a tribute shirt to. Are you able to describe that one?
The Conte, you know, that one's based off a heat map, you know, because him as a player, you know, he's all over the pitch for 90 minutes. So it just seemed logical to do a heat map shirt of his. And then, of course, doing a little spin off the Thrasher font, you know, to signify that, you know, he's on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, that shirt's really something. It certainly doesn't tie in with the other three. It's a separate idea in its own right. I heard quite recently, and I didn't know this before, it's in John Devlin's new book for the International football kits and illustrated history, something like that, which True Colours anyway. The Spain shirt that they wore in the last Euros, in Euro 2016, the splash of colour, the red and yellow on the shirt, like the mess, you could call it, on the chest, is actually apparently the heat map of Torres's goal against Italy in the final 4 years before when they won.
Do you know that to be fact?
I know it's written in John's book. Yeah. Now, I'm not. He's claimed that and he's researched it. So I'm happy to go with that, and that he's good enough for me. But yeah. I hadn't heard it before I read that book. No, but it's interesting. Certainly interesting.
Yeah.
So those are the France shirts. I'm hoping France do well in the World Cup, and those are. I do hope we see some of those. Have you spotted anything like that? Have you spotted any of your shirts being worn in stands or anything like that yet, or is that something that's still to come?
I think occasionally people will send me pics of them in shirts. Like, I think the last one I got was a guy wearing the IKEA Focus shirt, in front of the Bombonera.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a great shirt. I did want, this is maybe, that's a pretty famous shirt. I think the Zizou shirt is maybe the most famous of your range so far.
Yeah.
But that one was a huge one as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is a Boca Juniors shirt, in effect, which is based on the famous IKEA carrier bag. Is that right?
Yes. And you know what, to be honest, when I did that, it just, you know, again, it just seemed natural to do that. But then come to find out afterwards, and I think that was from you, who had told me that their colors come from the Swedish flag. And the tie into that was that when they were founding the club, they agreed that the next ship that would come into harbor, the colors of that flag they would take as the colors of their shirt.
Yeah. I think there was like a problem with, maybe I might be getting mixed up with something else, but I think there was a problem with another team who had the same colors as they had before. So they had to change their colors. They didn't know what to change it to. And as you say, they said, okay, the next ship that comes in, we will take the colors from that. And it was a Swedish ship that came into the port in Buenos Aires. So, So there is that tie-in, particularly with Sweden. And obviously IKEA is Swedish. So that's pretty cool. But it's a great shirt. That is certainly one of my favorites. And you wouldn't even tell. That's the beauty. When the sublimation is done that well and the quality of your shirts does give sublimation of that standard, you can see the texture of the bag so well. If you would have to actually touch it to realize it's not that same material, which is fantastic. I really like
that. Yeah, and you know what? So that texture, I actually had the IKEA bag, and then I will shoot the bag at actual size. And then, of course, then you process it in Photoshop to make it usable when you go to sublimate it. So, you know, it's really... It comes from an actual bag.
That is excellent. Going back to the World Cup, so we've got these, we've got the beautiful France home away and third, and then you've got the Kanté shirt, which is beautiful in its own way as well. Another one I really like that you've done, and this is, I'm particularly in favour of this one because the actual shirt that this team has released for the World Cup, I'm really disappointed with, is the Iceland shirt that you've done. So the Iceland shirt that's been released by, I think it's Araya, it's got like a pixelated type splatter thing on the shoulders. It seems quite dated as a design, but I really like what you've created as an alternative. What is it you've actually done there? What are the stylings that you've put on the Iceland shirt you've done?
Yeah, the Iceland shirt inspired by the Lopi sweater that you find in Iceland. And so I used that as a starting point and then created a design to go with it, and then mixed in with some Viking iconography. And to make that shirt with the whole pattern up at the top of the body, you know, I had to cut it like old school 90s shirts where they'd have this continuous shoulder seam that went through to the sleeve. So it was essentially just the front and the back. Mm-hmm. And you would sew at the shoulders and then on the underarms, because if I were to make set in sleeves or even raglan, you wouldn't be able to do what I did with that shirt. So that's the beauty of a lot of those 90s shirts too, is that when you cut a shirt like that, like they did back then that your canvas is even bigger.
Yeah. So an example of that is the sublimation on the new Nike ranges, so the Vapor ranges. You have maybe a contrasting sleeve, raglan sleeve, or you have design on the raglan sleeves, but that doesn't cross over onto the shirt or vice versa, onto the body of the shirt or vice versa. So the body might have a lot of sublimation, then you've got plain sleeves on it, so it doesn't have that continuous effect. So yeah. Something from the 90s that people remember in a similar sort of style, I suppose, to the Iceland shirt you've done is the Germany shirt that they wore at the 94 World Cup, which had that sort of feathered design, feathered diamonds design, which stretched onto the sleeves to a certain extent, but it's not stretching anywhere really, because it's one piece of fabric, and that's how you managed to do sublimation like that. Would that be right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I would say the 21st century version of that will be where you're just having a whole one piece garment, yeah, which they'll have. I think they probably have that already. And then in that sense, you can just knit the different graphics.
Yeah. So I think I have heard that there's talk now about producing things in three dimensions anyway. So through 3D printing, you might be able to create a shirt exactly to how it is. Because if you're modeling it 3D in the first place on whatever it is, it's not, I suppose you just call it some sort of CAD program. Then you can just create it exactly as you've created it on the screen, which is opens up masses of possibilities as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. I think in the future, you know, there will be a lot of craziness in the shirt, but probably not in the way that we're envisioning it right now.
Yeah. One more that I really like from your range currently is the Belgian one. Now, this has stylings. When you created the Belgian one, did you know that Adidas were going to bring back the diamond pattern that they had in the 80s?
I'm not sure, but I mean that Argyle pattern is very iconic to Belgium, because if you think of other past Belgian shirts, it's hard to think of one that sticks in your mind, but those, the home and away from back then, those are iconic. So of course, what I did was a nod to those shirts, but then, I just added another layer onto it, added another layer, and then also did the Argyles in a different execution.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly is a different execution. So what Adidas have done in the, we call them re-releases, there are a few changes to them, so that you don't have the white panel that it sits on anymore. It goes directly onto the red. But it's, apart from that, it's reasonably faithful. What you've done is a real modernization of that in the way it looks. It's almost three-dimensional. It's sort of layered, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's there is a bit of this gradation to it, but that's just through the different plays of the thicknesses of the lines that make up the Argyle, So that's one. And then on top of that, you've got the element of Magritte on top of that, you know, him being a Belgian artist. Again, that just seemed natural for me to do something like that. And then, for me, I would say that's probably one of my favorite shirts because, I don't know, it just feels expressive in different ways. And it's, you know, I would hope to think that Magritte would even wear the shirt.
Yeah, that's quite a claim. Yeah, but no one could argue against it. That is a great one, and it's particularly stylish. It's quite, if I dare say it, it's quite subdued compared with a lot of the releases that you have. So it's more minimalist than, maybe with the Magritte element to it as well, it's slightly more minimalist than a lot of the things that you do. Would that be fair?
Possibly. I mean, depending on what else you compare it to, you know, I would say that maybe in a way you could say that the Zizou shirt is also a little more minimalist because the body itself is just one color, you know, but I do have a thing of, for making all over patterns. So
yeah.
But if you compare it to the shirts that I've done with all over patterns, then yeah, it is more minimalist. But I don't know, I just can't get away from patterns, you know. It's like same reason that you know, I have this love in with early 90s shirts. I just can't, you know, those are the grails.
Yeah, the early 90s, well, it is coming back, so we'll probably talk about it later, but in fact, we might as well just talk about it now. The Nigeria shirt for this World Cup, is that something that you've liked? Do you like that one, or is that maybe even too tame, or what?
I would say, you know, again, comparing it to the early 90s shirts, yeah, it would be considered tame. I like it, but you know, I guess my standard would be, you know, the early 90s. So it's tough, really, to, I don't know, it just seems like it's tough to kind of up the ante from the early 90s.
Yeah, I think people are going to have to be pretty brave. I think you're obviously brave, and it's maybe a calling card of Fokuhila, but it is going to be, I mean, you mentioned the Zizou shirt being minimalist. It's still pink, so it still has that element that it's going to be very striking, despite not having so much in terms of the print. So what you're doing is going to be brave, and it's going to be louder than a lot of standard football shirts. You've also done England shirts for this World Cup as well. Let's start with the home shirt. What's the thinking behind that? Are you able to describe what you've done there?
Yeah, I think first, you know, I had just been thinking, or just, you know, maybe daydreaming or whatnot, and then I just the word World Cup came into my head, and I was thinking just cup, and then kappa, and then World Cup. Come to find out that, you know, in the past, that there was a show, I think sponsored by maybe one of the news channels in England. They had a show called World Cup, though I don't really know what it's about. But anyhow, the word stuck, and then, you know, from there, boom, and I instantly thought of tea and biscuits, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. And then later, you know, when I was doing a little more research into the biscuit part of it, you know, being an American and, you know, knowing of the traditions of tea and biscuits, but not knowing it to the extent that someone like you would, you know, then I reached out to you and got some more insight into biscuit part of it. So I ended up buying that book that you recommended and read that on biscuits, and then and focused in on what I believe it was like three biscuits and a digestive. I suppose a digestive can also is part of a subgroup of biscuits, right?
You'd still, a digestive would still be like one of a range of biscuits, but you've got like a chocolate digestive, and then you've got a plain digestive. You'd have like a dark chocolate digestive and a milk chocolate digestive, and I think they might have even had a digestive with like caramel and then chocolate on the top. That's a popular one as well. So yeah, we like digestives. They're like 80 calories each, digestives. And that's the non-chocolate one. I think the standard ones are like something like 80 calories each.
Yeah.
Which is...
I think that the biscuit shirt I did, I think that's around 3,000 calories.
That's fantastic. So don't eat the shirt if you buy it. That would be, yeah. So the away one is the blue one, which has all the biscuits on it. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the blue one with an all over biscuit pattern on it.
Okay. And
the home is made of the St. George's cross of roses, and the roses are inspired by the ones that you would see on porcelain teapots. So, and then if you look even closer into that shirt, you'll see that there's this polka dot pattern, a subtle blue polka dot, and that comes from the polka dot that you see on biscuits.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
You do. So they're like the little air holes that you've got in biscuits. I don't know what they're there for. It's probably just a design thing. But
well, I think that's to keep them from, going over 100 calories each.
Yeah, just cut out a little area. Okay, yeah. That works. Yeah, that makes me feel so much better about my terrible eating habits. Yeah, so those are they're good alternatives to, I mean, I quite like the away shirt that Nike released for the World Cup is almost identical to the design that they had 4 years ago, so I don't know what that's about, why they've done that, but the home shirt is very England, but these are a nice alternative to those.
Yeah.
England is spelt slightly different on your shirts, isn't it?
Yeah, England is, many football fans or English football fans would say, when they're in the many different chants. So, just, be a little more tongue-in-cheek about it, too.
Yeah. It certainly ties into the English culture. And, the impressive ability to turn a two-syllable word into a three-syllable word. Yeah, English football fans are quite talented like that. Those are sort of the World Cup shirts. So these are the shirts that you could wear whilst supporting teams that actually made it. There are several teams that you've done shirts for that haven't actually made it. So one I particularly like, the Netherlands, which is always a tragedy when they don't make tournaments, but it happens with increasing regularity now. You created a black Netherlands shirt, but it, with a similar pattern to the very famous 88 one. Yeah. Is there sort of a story behind that, or is it just like, this will look great?
Well, I think, this is where I said that trifecta of fashion, sport, and irony come in, where this is really the fashion part of it, where you take that 88 pattern, and then I decided to do it in denim and different textures and I guess different grades of black. So it was really purely a fashion point. And then the black comes from Tulip Habanero, the nickname of Rude Hullet.
Okay.
That's the tie-in there, but it was really just to see what it would look like from a fashion perspective. I mean, you could argue that the 88 shirt itself is a fashion shirt. I mean, I'd rock that as, you know, a fashion shirt because it is. So, but this was just throwing a different texture on it and then changing the colors as well. But adding these little outlines of orange to tie back to the original. It's almost like switching, inversing what the 88 was.
Yeah. So it's like a negative. Yeah.
Yeah.
The irony there is that the one person who doesn't like that design is Rude Hullet. He actually said he hated that shirt design. Not yours, but the one he wore.
Yeah. Well, I'd be interested to know if he would like it now, but it most likely not.
No, he was asked about it recently. There, he was involved in the Fabric of Football event that Classic Football Shirts put on recently. And he was asked about that, and he said he hated it. One of our favourite, any Kit Geek sort of holds that shirt up as one of the greatest of all time. But Rude Hullet, who many Kit Geeks hold up as one of the greatest footballers of all time, he's not in agreement on that one.
No,
that's a great shirt. When you say about the denim element, are we talking the same thing as the IKEA bag? And the Bocca shirt, where it's just an effect that's created visually, but there isn't any element to the actual shirt that has the texture of denim.
Yeah, well, I think I used 9 different textures of denim. Those, again, you know, I took denim jeans that I had gotten from a secondhand store, and then again took photos of them at actual size, and then added black overlay to it.
Yeah, well, it certainly works.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Something else, another team that obviously haven't made it, and the USA, what you've done with you've created some USA shirts recently, which are particularly provocative, and I dare say will be met with a feeling that this is quite controversial. Are you able to describe them? There's two shirts, isn't there? There's a white and a black one. Starting with the black one, what was the, talk us through the elements of that and what the reasoning was behind it?
Yeah, well, the reasoning first is that, well, I've made political shirts in the past, and these two are inspired by, I guess, if you were to say generally, would be Black Lives Matter, but not necessarily the movement, but, you know, of what that means, Black Lives Matter. And basically every life matters. It's just that, you know, I think it's a bit tragic and a little pathetic to that in 2018 that we would even have to still discuss things like this, you know, so, or that I would, you know, make shirts like this to call out, you know, these sorts of travesties. And I think it's really, it's addressing police brutality, you know, and, you know, a lot of the people who are on the end of that tend to be, you know, people, black or brown people in the States, and me as an Asian American growing up in the States. I did have occasional, very, rare, but, still some run-ins with racism, whereas, in Germany, I've never had a, been involved in a racist incident, towards me. So I can imagine that, coming as an Asian in the States, having felt that, just imagine how much more the, Black people go through in the States. And of course, it's undeserved. And I think the whole idea of racism too is just very abstract, that I just don't get it, but that these shirts are based off of racism, police brutality, the prison system, and how that unfair that is to Black people. And I think I've always represented and stood up for underdogs, and that's the same reason that I don't mind designing for, let's say, teams that don't make it into the World Cup, or who have never even, never ever qualified, or don't even have a chance. To me, it's not about that. It's more probably, I'd be more interested in designing for underdogs, to be honest. So, but these shirts, they address, all those issues, and that black shirt in particular, that came after the home shirt, but the black shirt, it's black with an all over pattern that's made out of target bullseyes, and some of the lines of the targets are made with barbed wire. And again, that goes back to addressing the prison system. And then within the targets, you'll see the numbers that you would normally find in a target, but then you'll also see letters in there that spell out "hands up, don't shoot," again, that addressing the seems like the more than occasional occurrence of police not showing any either tolerance or logic or anything, and just really kind of shooting first, asking questions later, So
yeah,
that's one. And then on the back, you've got the number 10 with the zero as a bullseye, and the name and numbering of above the 10 is guilty. It refers to almost being guilty before, guilty and then having to prove your innocence. By being guilty, you're almost as good as dead.
Yeah. It's a bit very specific and particular problem in the US regarding police brutality in general, and obviously the trigger happy element to the police as well. It's a world apart from, generally speaking, it's a world apart from this country. We have had instances in this country, in the UK as well, of the police maybe perhaps shooting when they didn't necessarily need to shoot, and people dying as a consequence of that. Some of the launch images that you've used of particularly the black shirt, I see that there's a guy stepping out of a car with his hands up. I would imagine a black guy stepping out of a car with his hands up with the shirt on, which is a pretty stark and provocative message that you're sending out there, which ties in with what you're saying there about what the message is. The white shirt, that's a similar sort of thing, but it includes the stars and stripes, the Stars and Stripes, Star Spangled Banner, whatever the official name is for the American flag. It's a stylized version of that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's taking the American flag as a starting point, but then you see that it's a tattered flag. That represents that all's not well in the States, especially when it comes to issues like what we're talking about. And then the red and white stripes, or the red stripes, are made of bloodlines that are some of which are leaking from the stars, which have been turned into bullet holes. So, of course, that's an obvious reference to what we just talked about. And then on the back, the name and numbering, it says slave to guns, because you see this fanaticism with guns in the States, especially those of the far right, and anyone who's involved with NRA, there's just this, they treat it like this religion. And slave, I specifically use the word slave because of the history of that in America, but I use it where I kind of turned it to mean something different in this sense.
Yeah. So you kind of have that the evolution of the concept of slavery, obviously the black communities in America are tied to it, but now you have a situation where is it the Second Amendment the right to bear arms, and that has, as you say, become something that people hold on to as part of their culture, but it is like a crutch for many people, the need to always retain this, and people suffer as a consequence of that. Obviously, the gun deaths in America is unbelievable, and skewed towards, certainly in the cases that involve the police, skewed towards black people as well. So it's a difficult state of affairs. These are obviously shirts that are meant for wearing in the street. So obviously, if you decide to make a political statement, and there is, I suppose, risk involved in that, in that if you're wearing a particularly provocative shirt and you're wearing it in the wrong place or wearing it in front of the wrong people, and that might be the same with anything. So if you wear a particular football shirt anyway in the wrong part of town, that can provoke a reaction, or at the wrong time, or the on the wrong occasion, this can cause problems. These shirts wouldn't be worn in matches, but what is your stance on sort of political statements in general on football kits that are being worn in matches? Is that something you think has its place or not?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, firstly, I would say that I don't think that what I've done is provocative. I think what's been done for me to do what I've done is provocative. So, I wish that things like that wouldn't happen, in the States or anywhere. So, but when it comes to political statements being made on kits that are worn in leagues, I'm all for it. Same reason why, I made those political designs for San Paoli, because that is quintessential left wing club, so that's their raison d'etre, So it would be, it's to not do it, just doesn't, I can't see you just not doing it. Seems like they're intertwined. So I think, and you, there's a lot of visibility when it comes to football as well. You know, football is a very democratic sport, and although you'll have, you know, the elite clubs, let's say, with lots of money and whatnot, you know, at the end of the day, the sport itself is a very democratic sport. So I think when it comes to the visibility on pitch and from clubs and whatnot, that, you know, in a way, you know, football is also, you know, a metaphor of life, but everything is really.
Yeah. Yeah, I personally agree. I think it's the political existence of football clubs and perhaps the fans of particular clubs is quite important. I do think that should be included on football kits. It's a way of sending a message out. I do think it works the other way as well, that football clubs perhaps shouldn't compromise what they stand for by carrying sponsorship and so on, that maybe compromises what their beliefs are. So that could mean gambling, or it could mean payday loan companies. It just the forces that are going against the positive elements that a support base or a club's history can bring. Something that's come up recently in news was the Republic of Ireland played against the USA recently in a match, and both sides wore rainbow. As you mentioned, you created some Pauli kit which had rainbow coloured trim on it. So USA and Ireland played a match recently, and they both had the fonts on the back of the shirts. The number fonts had rainbow colouring to them as well, which was met positively by most people that I read about, so that's great. But there was an instance recently when the US women's team played a match, and a player called, I think her name's, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, but I think it's Jaylene Hinkle,
yeah,
refused to play in the match. It's yeah, come out long after the event that she refused to play in the match due to her Christian beliefs, which she felt her Christian beliefs were at odds with, with the wearing of something that in her mind promoted an LGBT cause. Now, is that the same? Do you believe in that right to take a stance there? I mean, she now accepts that her international career is over as a consequence of that. Is where do you stand on something like that? Could you admit in the shirt so she doesn't have to wear that, or is it good that she's gone from the national team if she doesn't feel that there should be a lack of a removal of all discrimination against LGBT groups, LGBTQ plus groups? What would be your feelings on that?
I read an article about that, and you know, I'd say that I respect what she did, and I don't think she's coming across as that she's discriminating. She's just saying that, you know, from what she's, how she's been raised and from the scriptures, that's just not something that she believes in. So, you know, I respect her stance on it, and more so because, you know, as you said, her international career is pretty much done and dusted. So, you know, for her to have to make that decision where her religious beliefs trump her playing career, then, you know, and again, you know, it wasn't that she was being discriminatory. So,
yeah, I speak as a Christian, and I don't understand her logic, I've got to say, because to take a stance against, I don't know what, to what extent it promotes. It's always, you mentioned sticking up for the underdog, and my argument would be that we have LGBTQ and so on and I'm not necessarily entirely at ease with that, because I don't think it's anyone's business what who they sleep with or anything like that. That's a personal thing, and it doesn't affect anyone else's life. But I think it's because it's an underdog situation where there is such discrimination against someone for such a ridiculous reason that if you are against that evening out of the situation or of balance, which we're not quite there yet, then I don't understand how that's a Christian point of view personally. So I have a bit of a problem with it. The other side of it is that James McLean is a player who plays in England. He each year, most teams now in England will have the design of a poppy sewn onto their shirts, and this is to commemorate members of the armed forces who have lost their lives in conflicts from the First World War onwards, Allied forces, and he refuses to wear it for personal reasons, which centre on his upbringing in Derry in Ireland, where the British Armed Forces don't have a positive reputation, and there are lots of investigations going on right now, actually, regarding their conduct during the Troubles in Ireland. And so for that reason, he refuses to wear a poppy, and he gets enormous abuse on Twitter, death threats through to abuse. And this obviously is increased around the time, around November, when the players are due to be wearing these shirts with the poppies on. And he gets a special shirt without, or he doesn't get one of the special shirts with the poppies on. He gets a plain one. So the choice thing is difficult. So it seems if you tell a player, this week we're wearing a particular shirt which has this embellishment to it, and if you're not giving that person the option to say, well, I don't want the embellishment, I want it in its standard form, it's tricky, because she obviously didn't have that option. Jalen Hinkle didn't have that option, but Jack McLean does have that option now. So it's tricky. To be perfectly honest, I am happy with that status quo as it is. I don't think she should have the option not to wear that shirt, because there's nothing wrong with the sentiment. I don't think it could be argued against. I don't understand the argument against it. In the case of James McLean, I fully understand his reasoning, and I don't like the way the it has become, I think personally, a backdoor way of promoting the armed forces, the British Armed Forces, which in its own way promotes the conflicts that they're involved with. I think it strays into that, because it's quite a modern phenomenon. So it's tricky, very, very tricky. Yeah. But as things are, I believe is a correct way.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's all relative. The only thing is, for me, that, you know, I wouldn't force feed my beliefs, you know, on someone. So, you know, for her, she had a choice. She made her choice. And for him, I respect that he's gone so far to think it through and just not, you know, blindly accepting the shirt. And as innocuous as maybe the poppy may come across to people, that for him, you know, it offends him. So I appreciate that he's taken that extra step to really think about that. And I, you know, also appreciate that they've given him the option not to wear it either. So,
the
abuse on Twitter or wherever, you know, that's really uncalled for. But in this day and age, it just seems like that's just standard issue now.
Yeah, that's another pity about the time we live in. Something a little bit lighter then. Something I saw you posted. Now, this isn't something that is necessary for sale, but you recently customized an Arsenal Invincible shirt. So the shirt that Arsenal wore in 2002 to 2003 and 2003 to 2004. In 2003-04, they went the entire season unbeaten. You're an Arsenal fan, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's a terrible sound to your voice there. There's, things are on the up. It's going to be, next season's your season. It's all over. You don't need to worry about it anymore. Don't need to campaign.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's, well, be careful what you wish for. So you customised this Arsenal shirt. Now, was this anything specific to Arsene Wenger's departure? Was that the reason you were working on this project?
Not at all, you know, and... Well, I don't know if you're referring to the graphic on the front in the O2 where I put a Bugs Bunny and that's all folks. I think that just, you know, comes from me seeing that image of Bugs in that hole. And then I just, when I see the O2, sometimes I see that. So, that has no reference to Arsene Wenger leaving the club, but you know the other bits of it. Yeah, of course, it's all about, you know, the invincible being more or less the king of the league. So, you know, I've used, you know, iconography that of crowns and the word royal. Actually, back in the day, Arsenal was called the Royal Arsenal. Before the Arsenal, so you know there's a tie in there, and then on the back, you know, maybe I've got a little bromance with Thierry Henry. So of course, King Henry. I mean, back then, you know, you watching his highlights, you know, it's like watching porn. You know, so
yeah. Yeah, it's a great shirt. That, well, what's the plan for that then? Is that just one you've done for your own pleasure? Yeah. And you?
Yeah, a lot of the things that I'll, you know, post on my personal Instagram are like just personal projects, like one-offs, and I don't know, just different concepts that I have, that some of which are ongoing, that I just do when I have the opportunity to, or something pops in my head, or I don't know, it's kind of like therapy, I guess, you know,
yeah,
meditation, or where I've got this, yeah, the Arsenal thing that's ongoing, and then the Arsenal Supreme thing where I'll take a Supreme product and turn them into Arsenal shirts. So, I don't know, just all of these little themes that I'll keep building on as well, and I have a lot of fun. I mean, I've got a few others lined up, you know, with Arsenal in mind that you'll be seeing pretty soon, and you know, that's just, it'll always be this ongoing thing that I do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great one, and whatever you say, that was too, it was too fitting to not tie in with. I mean, it may not have been your intention, but certainly that, especially for that to be his finest hour, the Invincibles, to have that sponsor with the That's All Folks, that just fitted in perfectly.
Yeah, but I meant, you know, that part of that is also that when I That's All Folks is like, you can't really do more than that. That's it. You know, we're invincible. You know, period. Nothing else. So that was that. That's really the meaning behind that. I mean,
Yeah, but it life takes over sometimes, so things can take on more meaning.
Yeah.
Just finally, it's been fantastic talking to you. It always is.
Likewise.
We've heard enough about what particular style of design you enjoy, but, and we mentioned the Nigeria shirt for the World Cup. Are there any other shirts of this World Cup that have caught your eye that you particularly like?
To be honest, you know what? Today I was at this magazine shop, and there was this French football magazine, So Foot, And, you know, I was looking through it, and then I saw, I believe it was the 98 kits from France.
Yeah,
those are nice. And, you know, there's this simplicity to them, but they're still graphic. You know, I would say, you know, maybe a lot of the shirts from this World Cup strike me as a bit safe, you know. So, and it, you know, the 98 shirts, you know, there was just a little more play with color, and I don't know, they just pop, you know. And I saw there's this image of as a team after they had scored a goal, and they're all, you know, huddling together, and it just, the kit looked really, really nice, you know, in that image. So it's hard for me to say, because a lot of the shirts are really, what I guess, monotone or just tonal, single colored. So, you know, it's tough for me to say that, oh yeah, I love this shirt. I mean, if I think of England shirts in particular, you know, some of the last ones I loved were the 2006 Umbro shirt, just because it had this wicked cut and sew to it. And then I think they also had was that fabric Ecstatic, you know, with a silver thread. It just, you know, when you look at it, it has a lot of different texture to it. Yeah. And they were just beautifully designed.
I mean, I could have maybe guessed that answer, because the Nigeria shirt is the one that stands out that has a bit more going on graphically. Obviously, there are a lot of shirts in this World Cup that hark back to late 80s particularly, and early 90s, but again, it's not so much with the big graphical patterns too much. There's the Spain one. The Spain home shirt has a fair amount going on, and obviously there's the rehash of the Germany design, but as big and bold goes, it is all been slightly understated. And certainly with the Spain design, that's what you mentioned earlier, where if you are going to sublimate a shirt, then you will have that cutting off on the shoulder seam, and it won't continue. And that's certainly where it's been restrained on a lot of the shirts, and they've even changed slightly the seam, so the shoulder seam hangs slightly down the arm, so they can get more design onto the body of the shirt, so it doesn't come off too soon. So they are working towards that, but that is a limitation of current designs.
And that Spain shirt too, I like the original, where the angle of the diamonds are different. This one is more like a diamond, but when you see the layout, it's like a parallelogram, which a diamond is, but the diamond is a little more, I guess, when you place it horizontally, symmetrical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't actually noticed that, but I'll check that. That sounds right. Yeah, so if you turned it, say, 30 degrees or something, it would look horizontally symmetrical, but with the new ones, it's not, it's slightly skewed.
Yeah, you know, the original was, check out the original.
Yeah. Okay, it's been great talking to you, Jason. Now, all these shirts that we've talked about, these are available, I mean, the vast majority of the ones we've gone through today are available to buy, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay, so how do we get hold of these?
Go to focohela.com, and then go to tops, and then check out the shirts. They're all made to order, so they'll take around 2 weeks for delivery.
So it's ideal for just about ideal for the World Cup. If you're hoping that your team in the World Cup is going to make it past the first round, and people shouldn't be buying football shirts for teams unless they think they're going to make it past the first round, in my opinion. If they're actually supporting the team, then that'll work out nicely for you. And it looks that's quite good on holiday as well. If you are going away for the summer, that it could be a nice addition to your summer wardrobe as well. Yeah. There's several in there that I've got my eye on. Also, you're on, I take it you have lots of social media. You used to be El Dejo. Now, yeah. What are you now? Are you still El Dejo?
No, on Instagram, Los Dejos, LOSDEJOS.
Yep.
And then at Fogohela on Instagram as well.
Okay. And so everyone's talking to me about Instagram at the minute. I really am behind the times for not being on there, so I do apologise. I'm not on there. Even Design Football is not on Instagram. This really should be changed. Check it, because by the time this is published, it might be that we've set up an Instagram account. Are you on Twitter as well?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not so active on Twitter. More, I don't know. I use that more as real-time news, more or less.
Okay.
More than anything, I'm not like waxing poetic on football or anything like that.
Yeah. Okay, so really, I feel like a dinosaur that you've actually abandoned Twitter now. Twitter is
no,
not even.
No. Or you know, you can always do Twitter as well, but you know, I like to read content on there.
Yeah. Okay. So what would it be? Is it El Dejo on Twitter or Los Dejos?
Yeah, Los Dejos.
Los Dejos on Twitter as well. Okay. Right. Okay. So at least we know. Okay. Well, as always, wonderful talking to you, Jason. Thank you again.
Thank you.
For coming on. If you want to get hold of me, as I say, not on Instagram yet, J29ers for me on Twitter, Design Football. So much is being tweeted now. It's the World Cup. People get excited and they're uploading loads of designs, so there's loads going on. Designfootball.com is the website, designfootball.com on Facebook, and designfootball on Twitter to see all the designs. Other things to mention, that Chris Oakley has his podcast. I think it's behind the Patreon wall, but that's certainly worth your time and money. So have a listen to that. Check out the designs he's putting on there as well, because they're fantastic. He's doing great stuff. Dennis Hurley's doing great stuff on Museum of Jerseys as well. Get John Devlin's book. All these things are going on right now because everyone's going crazy for the World Cup. So, lots of things to check out if you're a kit fan. Thanks again, Jason. We'll have someone else on here soon. Very soon, there'll be another podcast on its way. So listen out for that. And speak to you again soon.
Yeah. Go Korea, go Iceland.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.